Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He was inside Chase Center last night, ESPN Radio, for Warriors Game 1 win over the Mavericks, Western Conference Finals. It's George Sedano making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, George, I mentioned you were inside the Chase Center last night for Game 1 Warriors victory over the Mavericks. Were you surprised that Golden State ran him off the court?
I was, yes. I thought that, you know, look, the way Luka has been playing, we hadn't seen him play like this in a really long time. He only made 6 field goals and had 7 turnovers in the game. For as good as the Warriors' defense has been, Gary, I didn't expect to see that. And if you would have told me before the game that Stephen Clay would not have had a great first half and the Mavs would still be down 9, I would have told you you're nuts. So it just was one of those weird nights, and that's the way it goes sometimes in basketball, as you know.
You mentioned Steph and Clay. They are obviously, along with Draymond, the centerpieces of this Golden State franchise that has won multiple championships. And I do think people started to wonder if that window was closing. Clay had to have multiple surgeries. Steph and Draymond getting a little older. And yet here they are now, just 7 more victories away from another NBA title. I don't know that they'll be favored if they get there against either Boston or Miami, but obviously they've got a legitimate shot. It's within, it's within reach. Did people who started to maybe think that the Steph Clay run was over, it appears that they were premature on that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And if anything, I think that while they're not the Kevin Durant teams, I think that they're better, perhaps, than those original teams in the sense that they could sustain it longer because they've got young guys that they've added to this roster. I mean, you know, I've kind of jokingly said now there's a third Splash Brother, right, with Jordan Poole. And if you look at it, I think that they've had to – it's funny, I just had this conversation with Steph because I had to tape an interview with him for the next game. And, you know, he was talking about the patience, right, of the last 2 years and what they had to endure from an injury perspective and also just kind of with some of these young guys coming along. And now everything's kind of clicking at the right time. And, yeah, people definitely wrote them off too early. There were people that said their window was closed. And it looks like the window's still open, at least for a little while.
Talking to George Sedano here from ESPN. He was inside Chase Center last night. Warriors 112, Mavericks 87. Obviously the third Splash Brother, if there is one, it is Jordan Poole. This is a guy who was a surprise first round pick coming out of college and has really developed into, I know Steph, Clay, Draymond are considered the big three of this franchise, but I'm not sure Jordan Poole's not actually one of the three best players on this team. When you talk to people around that franchise about his development, what do they explain to you about that?
Well, just a testament to the kid, you know, where he's just, I mean, he's been through the grinder. I mean, remember, he was playing in the G League for a while. And it's also a testament to what the NBA has done with the G League. And I believe the number, and don't quote me on this, but the number's about like 40-some-odd percent that of the guys in the league right now have spent some time down there in the G League. And teams have used it as a true minor league system, at least the smart ones have. And I think it's just that. I just think he got those opportunities. He also got some opportunities on a team that wasn't all that good, right, the last couple of years, too. So that allowed him to make some mistakes without any high leverage moments necessarily. I mean, relatively speaking. But then he was able to kind of figure out how to play alongside those guys. When those guys were out of the lineup, he was able to kind of excel and continue to excel within his own particular game. So they've done just a really great job of player development with him. And that's what you have to do in this league now, Gary. I think, this is just my personal belief, that the days of just throwing together three guys and trying to make it work, I mean, you could do that, but you have to hit in the margins, man. And it's really tough unless you've got great player development. And the Warriors have shown that. You talked about the Eastern Conference. Miami has certainly done that. They've got eight guys that are undrafted on that team. Two of them start and have gone through their G League system. So, yeah, you have to do that. And I think the Warriors, particularly with Jordan Poole, have done a phenomenal job of bringing him along because of all those things.
Do you think Kevin Durant regrets walking away from this on any level, or does he just regret picking Kyrie Irving as his teammate to move forward, because that obviously hasn't gone well for a variety of reasons?
See, I don't fall in that category. I think Kevin Durant doesn't regret any of it. I think Kevin Durant got what he wanted. He came to San Francisco or the Bay Area and got some championships, and then he can kind of freely do whatever he wanted at that point. I don't think he feels, jealousy or any of that stuff. And again, I've never had this conversation with him, but this is just what I get from just the way he outwardly emotes about that particular conversation or anytime it's ever even brought up. I think that it was a business transaction for him, and it worked out really well.
Talking to George Sedano from ESPN. Obviously, Luka has bounced back in these playoffs before. He was down 3-2 in the previous series and then led to a Game 6 victory, a Game 7 victory. What's the key to he and the Mavericks bouncing back in Game 2?
They missed a lot of open shots, especially early on in that game. I want to say they were 3 of 19 in the first quarter. That was a franchise low for them, and I want to say it was pretty close to an all-time low in NBA history in regards to three-point percentage and shots, three-point percentage in that situation. So I just think they need to hit shots. Luka also did a really good job in the last series of hitting 58% of his shots, Gary, when he was in isolation, when he was the only player to touch the ball. And I think that that's going to be I don't think that's going to be a recipe for success against this particular Warriors team, the way they play defense. And that means his teammates are going to have to hit shots, because in the other instances where he had the ball in his hands and he tried to create opportunities for his teammates in the Phoenix series, they only shot 35% in those spots. And it wasn't that he wasn't hitting them in the pocket. They just weren't making shots. And we saw some more of that yesterday, because the Warriors are like, we're not going to let him be a one-man band and just beat us. So we're going to let those other guys, have to, we got to be honest on those guys too, but we're going to make sure those guys try to beat us. And they haven't. And that was something they were able to take away from the Phoenix series, and it worked in Game 1.
Eastern Conference Finals continue tonight. Celtics in Heat down in Miami. You know that Miami franchise as well as anybody. How have they been able to go from losing LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and that dynamic trio that won titles, and still so quickly find themselves in a situation where, they're just like the Warriors, 7 wins away from yet another world title?
It's a combination of things with Miami. I think that obviously just everyone being on the same page. The owner is not meddlesome in Mickey Arison. He turned it over to Pat Riley a long time ago. Pat Riley has a brain trust of himself, Eric Spoelstra, Andy Ellisberg, their GM, who's like the super capologist, and, Adam Simon and Chick Kammerer, these are the guys who unearth all these G League guys. And if you look at it historically, everyone always looks at Pat specifically in the way that his career arc has gone. They think of Magic Johnson and Kareem and, Patrick Ewing, Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and Chris Bosh, et cetera. But really, if you look at Pat Riley's legacy, a lot of it, particularly after the Lakers, was developing of talent. Anthony Mason was a guy, certainly John Starks in New York, in Miami. I mean, I can give you a laundry list of guys over 27 years that they've done that with, including a guy who's still on the bench and basically is a player coach in Udonis Haslem. So I think that is a key element to them, the consistency, everyone being on the same page. And look, a little bit of luck sometimes, okay? They had to convince LeBron to come there. And even post-LeBron, they were in kind of cap hell for a little while, trying to figure out if they can develop guys were veteran types, like a James Johnson or a Deion Waiters, and resuscitate their careers. And they did that a little bit, but they only got to a certain level with those guys, Hassan Whiteside being one of those guys as well. And then they got lucky because Portland wanted Hassan Whiteside because Damian Lillard wanted to play with Hassan Whiteside. That freed them up. That gave them the ability of, okay, now we've got some maneuverability. Maybe we can convince one star to come here, and with our player development and some shrewd moves in free agency, we can kind of make this work and we can get back to where we think we can be. And we've been as a franchise for the majority of Pat's time there. And that worked out. They were able to get Jimmy Butler in a situation where Philly wasn't willing to give him a five-year deal. Dwayne Wade played a big role in that back in those days because him and Jimmy are tight. And, from there, it just kind of worked out for them. Jimmy was given the opportunity to kind of have the keys to his own team, which is something it seemed like he wanted. People kind of laughed at that at the time. But we've now seen with one finals run and perhaps a second one here, if they can get past Boston. Let me backtrack. I don't even know if he needs to get to the finals at this point. I think people now realize with the numbers that he's putting up that, Jimmy Butler is a superstar. He's not flashy. He doesn't dunk it on everybody. He's not shooting step-back threes over everyone. He's a blue-collar, lunch pail-type player. But he's a superstar, and I think that they've got that. They've proven that he can be that guy and can help carry a team, and they've put the right pieces around them, and they've drafted well and developed well.
They had that incident on the sideline in a game that the cameras caught between Eric Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler. And what I thought was most interesting about that is, first, in the moment, you notice, you go back and watch it, every player had Eric Spoelstra's back. They were all telling Jimmy Butler he was out of line. And afterwards, Spoelstra was asked about it. He smiled and just sort of, slapped it away, had fun with the moment, and it was over. And if it were not any other franchise, but most other franchises, like if that exact same thing happens in Minnesota or Orlando or Sacramento, it would be an example of the dysfunction and there's something wrong and this is why this franchise will never flourish. And yet when it happened in Miami, it was like that franchise can have moments like this, endure it, move on, no big deal. Does that speak to the culture that Pat and Spoelstra and everybody else there have established?
See, I didn't want to use the culture word, the C word, on this conversation about Miami because I get accused of using that way too much. But yes, that is an example after what happened with Jimmy and Spo of that. And by the way, that happens in their practices a lot. it just happened to be caught on camera. And I'm not talking about just this particular group. I'm talking about that team in general. They are cool with being contentious at times. And I think that's why it's allowed kind of Jimmy to thrive. And, it hits a boiling point and they move on. They're 18-5, by the way, since that moment. So, to your point, it when I saw it happen, I knew it was going to be made a big deal, but immediately I'm like, yeah. Having known them the way I've known them and having been around them for nearly 20 years, I was like, yeah, they're going to be fine. It's not a big deal. That happens more than people think. And, yeah. And also, it's a testament to Spo, right? I mean, Spo is now one of the top 15 greatest coaches of all time on the NBA's list. He's at the peak of his powers right now. He's 50 years old, and he's got a little swag to him these days. Because remember in that argument, he's like, what do you want to do? You want to bleeping fight? You want me to bleeping fight you? Like, that's just it. Like, he's gotten to the point in his career where he's so confident in himself and his skills as a coach, as a communicator, as a tactician, that he can kind of just withstand it all because, it's a far cry from when he was basically a third-year coach and getting bumped by LeBron in Dallas, right? Like, and that thing, felt like it played on a loop for months. So it's just a combination of all those things. It's, yeah, their culture for sure, but it's a testament to Eric and just what he's been able to do and Spo being at the top of his game and, in my opinion, being the best coach in the sport right now.
I'm wrapping up here with George Sedano from ESPN. He's on Twitter, @Sedano. Last thing before I let you go, you obviously know that Lakers franchise really, really well. They are reportedly interviewing candidates and asking these candidates specifically how they would utilize Russell Westbrook alongside LeBron James and Anthony Davis. On one hand, that could just be a question you would ask. It means nothing. On the other, some have taken it and used it as an example that the Lakers are planning on running it back with those three. How do you interpret that?
I interpret it as the latter. I interpret it as they're not going to be able to move off of Russell Westbrook without having to give up one of those two picks that they own in the distant future in 2027 or 2029. And if I were them, I wouldn't want to give those up either, because it's the they're the only assets they have at the moment. And if you play this thing out, let's say that LeBron gets two more years in an extension, that puts you to about the 2025 season. 2027 is right around the corner, which means that a rebuild is probably coming shortly thereafter. So you're going to need the 2027 pick and maybe even the 2029 pick. Because if LeBron hadn't chosen to play with the Lakers, Gary, the Lakers had gone through six straight seasons of not making the playoffs. And they didn't even make it, obviously, in LeBron's first year because of the injury he suffered at Golden State on Christmas that year. So the Lakers would be in a very Knicksian scenario had LeBron not chosen to play with the Lakers. So I do think that it's smart, but it also shows that perhaps they were a little too willy-nilly in trying to make the Anthony Davis deal get done at the time. And look, it netted them a championship. I understand you do it. Like, you probably do it 10 out of 10 times. But I understand the critics like my colleague Brian Windhorst in that moment saying you probably want to at least keep some of these picks to be able to utilize in other trade scenarios to augment the team. And this is where they find themselves now. Brian was kind of, he was fortuitous in his commentary where he kind of had the crystal ball and could see this thing kind of evolving the way it does. Because, look, he knows it as well as anyone. He's covered LeBron as long as anyone. These things go in cycles with him. You know, 4 years is about the max with him. And then, you know, you are drained of resources in some ways. Because you got to keep pushing all the chips to the center of the table and going all in when you have LeBron. Because, of course, that's the strategy. You have to have that strategy because the windows are always shorter than you think they are. But that's why you have to be careful in those maneuvers you're making when you have him on your team, because you're going to always need ammunition to keep adding to the roster. And they're dealing with the ramifications of that, and it may mean keeping Russ on this team. If that's the case, unless Anthony Davis can play a lot more games than he's played this season, I just still see the Lakers as a team who's probably in that kind of like 6-7 range in the Western Conference. I just don't think Russ fits with LeBron, Gary. I've seen a lot of players play with LeBron in the years that I've been around the game, and I don't think there's a player that I've seen fit worse with LeBron on the floor. I didn't think a player existed that you couldn't put on the floor with him, and at least a star player. And, you know, he struggled at times a little bit with D-Wade at the beginning, and he figured that out, and I just don't see a scenario where he can figure it out with Russ. Russ is just a different breed, right? It's a different kind of beast. And when he's been at his best, man, he is incredible. He's an animal. But I also think he's losing a little bit here too. Like, he's a half a step slower than he was, and when you rely on athleticism, I think that changes the game. So I think this is going to be a fascinating offseason for the Lakers, and honestly through the trade deadline, to see if they can move Russ sometime before then too. So I think that there's a lot here to kind of keep an eye on with the Lakers.
That is George Sedano from ESPN. He's on Twitter at Sedano. Brother, I know how busy you are out in San Francisco, so I appreciate you making some time for me.
You got it, Gary. Anytime, man. Take care.
All right. That's George Sedano from ESPN. When we come back, PGA Championship underway in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Southern Hills. Roy McIlroy, 5-under 65. He's at the top of the leaderboard. It was not a great day for Tiger Woods. Was not a great day for Brooks Koepka. I'll get you updated on the leaderboard next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
For nearly 18 years, we've been delivering brand new vehicles right there in the Memphis market. And now we're excited to announce that Red River has a Toyota store right here in Wynn, just a short hop across the river to get the best deal on a new Toyota than anywhere else in your state or our state. Or we can bring it right to Memphis and drop it off in your driveway. You can order yours online right now at redrivertoyota.com and we'll bring it to you. So check us out at RedRiverToyota.com or come see us in Wynn.
All you truck drivers and truck mechanics out there, are you looking for a different kind of company and culture to be a part of? At Waste Connections and Team Waste, our employees reap the benefits of realizing their potential with trust and full support as a second chance company. We offer competitive pay, signing bonuses, tool allowance for our mechanics, and at the end of every workday, you get to be home. Our culture is built on taking care of each other and the communities we serve. Apply today at careers.waste.com. gateways connections.com and become part of a great team of people.
There's never a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app and place a $10 moneyline wager on any NBA playoff game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets. This is Jeffrey Wright inviting you to use bonus code WRIGHT200, WRIGHT200, when you make your first bet. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code WRIGHT200 to win $200 if either team hits a three in the NBA playoff game you bet on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, I got Jeff Allen live on the phone. Hey, what's going on over there at Gossett Kia, South Mount Moriah?
Look, Randy, it's crazy over here, and that's because we'll do whatever it takes to put you in a new Kia today. Check this out. I've got a 2022 Kia Forte LXS, only $219 a month, and a 2022 Kia Soul LX, $240 a month. Both 36-month lease and $27.99 due at signing. And if you're looking for some SUV action, 2022 Kia Sorento LX, $315, 36-month lease and $34.99 due at signing.
And I know all Gossett Kias are equipped with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
That's right, Randy. So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia Mount Moriah.
2680 Mount Moriah or KiaMountMoriah.com.
All 36-month leases, Forte, NE483-548, MSRP 21435, Soul, NHO 2976, MSRP 22045, Sorento, NG 1166-57, MSRP 31290. Includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Kia, excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 6/22. Dealer stock only. Warranties, a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retail for details.
Hi, this is Alan with Pyramid Properties, and I buy houses cash. If you own a house and want to sell it fast at a fair price, call me at 901-203-2222. I can pay cash and close in as little as 7 days. I buy houses in any condition, any price range, and any location in greater Memphis, including DeSoto County in Mississippi and West Memphis, Arkansas. I'm an independent real estate investor who buys several houses a month, and I want to buy more. I buy inherited houses, divorce houses, behind in payment houses. I even buy my tenant won't pay me the rent houses. Do you own a house that is trashed and needs thousands of dollars in repairs? Perfect, because I love buying junk houses. I buy vacant houses, abandoned houses, condemned houses, and foreclosure houses. If you own a house and want to sell it fast, call me at 901-203-2222. That's 901-203-2222. 901-203-2222.
Are you ready for the Take It On sales event at Gossett Mitsubishi on the Pike? Take on high gas prices with 41 MPG highway in your new 2022 Mitsubishi Mirage G4. $259 a month or buy for $17,885. Looking for the perfect road trip ride? Take on 2022 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport. $359 a month or buy for $25,285. Plus, award-winning redesigned 2022 Outlander. Seat 7, $369 a month or $29,005. And get the stellar 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. So get to Gossett Mitsubishi today, 1870 Covington Pike, or shop online at memphismitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
All 72 months at 3.9, Outlander NZ068336, MSRP 29505, Sport NU009708, MSRP 26035, G4, NHF05848, MSRP 18385, includes all rebates and incentives, P of 695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details, offer valid through end of the month, dealer stock only.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You, in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your bestest man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat? Boom. You wanna come in and play with the goat?
Goat body.
All you rap sound like me. Can't tell who is who. You got no real identity. Can't tell you from you.
Price went up.
Yeah.
Angel investor.
Yeah.
Price went up. Angel
okay,
investor.
Okay.
I'm not okay.
Not okay.
Think you're good. It's not okay.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company. It's owned by Melissa Cookston, seven-time world champion, first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So needless to say, the barbecue is great at Memphis Barbecue Company. And this is National Barbecue Month, so you should be celebrating appropriately. And that means going to Memphis Barbecue Company. But if you're not in the mood for barbecue for whatever reason, understand there's something on the menu that you'll enjoy. They got salads, burgers, sandwiches, fried catfish, grilled salmon, grilled chicken, chicken tenders, meatloaf, smoked wings. The menu is large. So if you're not in the mood for barbecue, there's something on it for you. You want to check the menu? Go to the website, memphisbbqco.com, memphisbbqco.com. Try to get there. It's easy. 709 DeSoto Cove is the address from Memphis. Just take 55 south to the Goodman Road exit. Get off, go right. You can see it from the interstate. You can dine in 7 days a week or schedule a pickup order online at memphisbbqco.com. That's memphisbbqco.com. Jeff Cogg is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll get back to Nick and Jimbo then. But right now, I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Round one, PGA Championship underway at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Roy McIlroy, 5-under 65. He's your first round leader right now. Got a one-shot lead over Will Zalatoris. Obviously, every tournament Tiger Woods plays in, Tiger Woods is the biggest story. And I will tell you, Big Bet Bennett, it was not a good day for the big cat.
No.
4-over 74 puts him tied for 112th, and he is at risk of missing the cut. Another big name at risk of missing the cut, Brooks Koepka, 5-over 13. He's still playing, so it was not a good day for Brooks Koepka, not a good day for Tiger Woods. John Daly, if you're interested, he was 2-over. He got off to a nice start, finished 2-over. My homie Harold Varner III is 2-over 12. But at the top, some of the big names, obviously Roy McIlroy, Will Zalatoris at 4-under. Xander Schauffele, the Olympic gold medalist, is 2-under, tied for 6. Cameron Smith, 2-under, also tied for 6. Then the number one ranked golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, also 2-under. He's still on the course. Through 11. Do you watch any of this, or you just like see the leaderboard when you see the leaderboard?
Yeah, I just saw it. It's actually on the TV in the studio, but I didn't get a chance to see Tiger this morning.
He just, you know, golf's hard.
Golf's hard, man, yeah.
Golf's hard. It must be incredibly frustrating for him to, you know, because of his age and because of his physical limitations, like the toll that life has taken on his body. He cannot do what he used to do. And that must be incredibly frustrating to have, you know, in the same life, you know, and this happens to everybody, but, you know, to happen when you were once the best at something, and it's still something you can go out and do well for a hole or a four-hole stretch or maybe even a round, but you just cannot piece it together the way you once could so easily piece it together. I imagine that's frustrating.
Yeah,
because golf is a sport where, like, when if you're a professional basketball player, professional football player, it becomes pretty clear to you as you age, I cannot do the things I used to could do, and you can sort of come to grips with that because you just physically cannot do the things you used to do. Golf is different because you can do those same things, you just can't consistently do those same things. Like Tiger Woods can still put a drive 330 down the middle of the fairway and can still hit an approach shot to 3 feet and can still make, you know, a tap-in birdie or a 25-foot putt. He can still do all of the things he could once do, just like most golfers can still do all of the things they could once do. It's just that as you age or your body starts to fail you, you can't do them as consistently as you used to do them. And so what used to be a 68 is now a 74. What used to be a 65, 67, 65, 67 is now a 67, but also a 72, 74, and a 68. You just can't consistently do it anymore. And, you know, I'm not ready to rule anything out for the rest of Tiger Woods' career, but that has been a theme at the Masters, and now it appears at the PGA Championship. He can still hit the shots sometimes, but he can't hit them as consistently as he used to, and that's when you start to slip as a professional golfer.
Story number two.
Dave Stockton is a former professional golfer. He won the PGA Championship in 1970 and in 1976, so he's an old-timer, an accomplished guy. And he was asked about the champions dinner at the PGA Championship where, you know, they invite all former champions back to have a dinner together. So you can't get in the room unless you've won the PGA Championship. But if you've won the PGA Championship, you can gather with other men who have done it. And here's what Dave Stockton said when he was asked about the champions dinner. He said, "It was a fun evening. Phil was not missed." Hey, nobody asked you about it. We'll ask you,
dude.
At least wait till we ask you about Phil Mickelson. Hey, what was it like with Phil not being there? Phil was not missed. What? Nobody even asked. It was like literally the second sentence out of his, "Hey, how was the champions dinner? It was a fun evening. Phil was not missed." What? He said, he went on to say, "I think Phil would have been a big distraction whether he was here. The story here this week is the PGA." And that's obviously a shot at Mickelson because he was trying to undermine the PGA Tour, trying to help create a rival tour with Saudi-backed money that would theoretically damage the PGA Tour. And though that isn't a deal breaker for everybody, because some tour pros have spoken out publicly and said, you know, when Phil apologizes, we'll accept his apology, and I look forward to seeing him again. But not everybody feels that way, and this is just another reminder of that. Meantime, Josh Peter, USA Today, had an interesting story today about Phil Mickelson. Like, what's he been up to? Because nobody's really seen him. So he actually goes to Phil Mickelson's home, his estate. It's about 25 miles north of San Diego, and, like, goes up to the gate. It's like, "Hey, I'm here to talk to Phil," like as if that would work. But I think he just did it as a device to use in the story to say, "Hey, I was standing at Phil Mickelson's gate." I don't think you could have reasonably thought Phil Mickelson was going to walk out to the gate and be like, "Oh, you're from USA Today. Good to see you. Yeah, let's sit down and talk." I think he was just doing it so he could write that he did it, as use it as part of the column. But either way, he did it. And he did say that, you know, Josh Peter, he got on the phone with Phil Mickelson's mother. And she said that Phil has grown a beard and a mustache. And he's like, he can go out and people don't really recognize him. Like, he went to his nieces. All Phil's kids are in college, but he has young nieces and nephews. And the mom was his mother. So their grandmother was like, "Yeah, he's been going to like little league baseball games and little soccer games. And, you know, mostly just enjoying life and reconnecting with his family and reconnecting with people." And she said it's been a long time since she's seen him this happy. So that's interesting. You know, it doesn't appear Phil Mickelson is, you know, sitting alone in his bedroom crying himself to sleep every night. Like, he's lost a lot in terms of sponsorship. He's lost a lot in terms of his reputation. But sometimes it is things like that, professional downfalls, that can, you know, make you stronger in other areas of your life. And if you take Phil Mickelson's mother at her word, and I don't have any reason not to, she seems to think that none of this was ideal, but she really likes seeing her son, you know, reconnect with family, with siblings, with nieces and nephews, and even his own children. And that is largely how Phil Mickelson has been spending his time. Josh Peters also talked to Charles Barkley, who considers Mickelson a close friend. And Charles said, "I have talked to Phil, and I'll keep the contents of that conversation private, but I did tell him it's time to get back at it. Like, you don't have to ground yourself forever," which is more or less what he's done right now. Like, if Phil Mickelson wanted to be playing in the PGA Championship this week, reportedly he could. He has just made himself disappear. And Barkley's advice to him was, sit down with somebody, do an on-camera interview, let them ask you tough questions, apologize, answer them honestly, and then get back to your life. And I imagine at some point that is what will happen.
Story number three.
Life isn't fair, Big Bet Bennett.
Yeah, you're telling me. Why do you say that?
Max Scherzer is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks after suffering a moderate to high-grade oblique strain during last night's start for the New York Mets against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I saw it happen live, actually. And, yeah, it didn't look good.
Why is life not fair?
I don't know, man. I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. But I tell you, I would joke in the off season. Not joke. I actually was like being sincere on some level. People would say, ooh, so you excited about Scherzer? Scherzer, DeGrom at the top of the rotation. You excited? You fired up? And I would always say, yeah, but I'm assuming they'll both be hurt by June. I would always say that.
Dang, you were late. You were late on that date.
It's May 19th. They're both on the injured list. Formerly known as the disabled list.
You know, when I saw it happen live, I was thinking that he was like getting mad at the dugout for some reason. Like that's what it looked like to me.
Well, he's so intense. His reputation is you can't talk to him while he's pitching. If you watch that clip from last night when he walks into the dugout and then walks all the way down the dugout and then walks to the tunnel, if you watch that video, nobody says a word to him.
Right, that's
which
true.
Which is not normal because, like, if your teammate was walking through the dugout after just taking himself out of a game, you'd be like, yo, man, you all right? How you feeling? How you know, what happened?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.